Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Weekly Highlight Podcast. What a crew of guests we had on this week, sharing their different ideas on everything from scheme to culture. We started off the week with the sideline hustle himself, Drew Lieberman. Drew spoke with us about building a culture through the wide receiver group.
You have to build a little bit of a different culture as a coach, because there's not all this like immediate gratification and necessarily a reward for your work that comes all the time. A lot of times you're running great routes, you're getting open, you're busting your butt in the run game, but there's really nothing to show for it because, you know, for a number of reasons, the ball's going somewhere else, or we're running the ball a lot, or the quarterback's getting sacked, like whatever that is. So I found that you know, you got to create a culture that it has a system in place that is constantly rewarding these kids for a lot of those things. And for the receivers I've coached, number one thing that we pride ourselves on is toughness. That's something you can grade every single play and every day, really. We define toughness as showing up every single day with a great attitude and great effort, right? That's something you can control. Like, no matter what it is, like, I can control my attitude and effort on this play. And I think that there has to be consequences when guys don't reach that standard. But that needs to be celebrated when they do meet that standard. And by meeting that standard, they're going to elevate the entire position group. When the receivers are the guys who are the toughest guys in the field, and they're not complaining, they're not throwing their hands in the air, they're not, you know, being selfish as all of these, you know, kind of diva receivers are perceived. When you've got that position group that's committed to winning and committed to the team, I think that really is infectious for the whole program. So to me, the first thing is toughness. And the way you kind of prove your toughness to the team is the way you finish. Like, you can show up every day with a great attitude and great effort, but like, your teammates don't know that until they see that you're the last man blocking on every play, until they see that you're running your route full speed. And even when you're not getting the ball, you're jogging back to the huddle with high energy and expecting the ball the next play. Like, all those kind of things, I think, go a long way. And most of the time, it's the receivers who fail to buy into that culture. And then it gives everyone else an excuse. But when the receivers, the guys who only get the ball six times a game, when that group isn't complaining and they're bought in, I think that spreads to the whole team kind of more than any position. So that's kind of where the culture starts for me, is with the toughness and finish aspect.
Lieberman also touched on his 100 catch a day challenge.
So basically the whole philosophy of it stemmed from Malcolm Gladwell's book called Outliers. And he talks about the 10,000 hour rule in that book, and about how, you know, all these experts from Beethoven to Bill Gates to Kobe Bryant to the Beatles, they all put in 10,000 hours of work before they became an expert at anything. They all had 10,000 hours of practice, and that's what's required before you can really accomplish anything significant without just having like some one-off success. To really build sustained success, you have to put in 10,000 hours of work. So I thought about that for receivers, and I was like, you know, if you want to improve your hands, go catch 10,000 footballs. That's the biggest way to take your hands to the next level. It doesn't mean you're going to have hands like DeAndre Hopkins, but it means that your hands will be significantly better than they were when you started. So that was the kind of philosophy around the whole thing. And I thought, like, you know, 100 catches a day really isn't a lot. It takes you 10 minutes to get 100 catches in. But the key is the consistency. The key is doing it every day, day in and day out, you know, for 100 straight days.
On Tuesday, Coach Nellis of Coaching Coordinators' home team segment caught up with former NFL player Jonathan Orr for a discussion on the struggles of athletes after their careers are over and how to deal with them.
Gosh, the most common, I would say, are tied to sort of identity issues, you know, because in most cases, an athlete, he or she has been doing that sport for years, right? Even if you're done after college, 22, 23 years old, but in most cases, you've been doing that since you were 5, 6, 7 years old, and now all of a sudden, that's not part of who you are anymore, and a lot of athletes struggle with that, you know, not having their identity associated with their sport. So that's definitely a big one. And then what sort of stems from that is sort of what I call a lack of purpose, right? Figuring out like what to do with the rest of your life, career-wise, whether it's going back to school, just trying to figure out what their passions are, what their interests are. And I would say those are the two most common challenges that athletes face once they're done playing.
Next up, Coach Vassar hosted another incredible deep dive on defense, this time with Cody Alexander. This dive covered Coach Alexander's match quarters defense and how he goes about defending defensive coordinator's worst nightmare, the RPO.
So the corners are going to be at 6, inside shade, open stance, tilted in, but their shoulders are going to be square to the receivers so that they can get their triangle read and they don't work outside. Because the natural progression for most kids is if I turn my shoulders and I get parallel with the sideline is I'm actually going to work back right to the sideline and outside of the receiver. So I call my quarter sky. A lot of people call sky like an invert where they're going to drop the safety down. I use it more as a tag to tag who the intermediate player is. So in every level, you have in every coverage, you're going to have a low, a medium, and high. And I learned this from Bennett when I was at Baylor, because why are we naming it sky? Why are we naming our two read coverage cloud? And so in sky, you're telling the safety that you're going to be the fit support player. So in a lot of places, sky is used as who's going to be the force player. So what we did, and the way I do it, is that your linebackers are going to play in the box. Your safeties are going to be, or your corners, depending on the coverage. But in sky, your safeties are going to be your fit support players. So they're going to play in that intermediate zone. So in true mod sky, the way that I teach it, the corners are going to take anything from number one up and out, which is mostly what everybody does. We're still going to drive on a slant. And I get that question a lot, is do you have your corners drive on a slant in force coverage? And the answer is yes. Most slants have a vertical stem to them. They're going to vertically stem for at least 2 to 3 steps, and then they're going to cut in. To me, that's a vertical stem. They're working past 5 yards. I've got to be able to top and cap that route.
Amen.
So for me, that is the basis of quarters.
Veering away from the X's and O's, Coach Grabowski caught up with Army Assistant Coach Matt Drinkall to talk about the culture Coach cultivated during his last stop at Kansas Wesleyan.
I want everyone to have a great experience. Well, if they're going to have a great experience, that's defined by the culture. The culture is defined by behaviors. Okay, so it feeds that way, and however your people behave, coaches, players, support staff, that is the culture you're going to have, is based on behavior. Whatever that culture is your defines your experience. If you look at it, then what are other ways I can compensate my staff to make sure that I have quality people? I saw it as a head coach as two ways: work environment and time. I can compensate them that way. That is something I can control to make them feel valued, so I can retain good coaches that are happy to be there. And I think that's a big deal. So as a result of that, we did not go into the office one single time before 10 a.m. We did not stay one single time past 6 p.m. So we came in at 10 o'clock every day, and everybody was well-rested, everybody was enthusiastic, everyone was excited, and it was awesome. We were genuinely excited to be there every single second of every single day. We were happy to see the kids. You know, no one was like not getting any sleep or, you know, getting yelled at home because they're gone all the time or they're missing certain things and they feel like they're making compromises in their lives. We might only be at the office maybe 6 hours less a day than somebody else, but boy, I bet you I'll challenge anybody that we were getting the same amount or more work done, and the quality of our work and morale was higher. And I think that was reflected by our players having fun at practice and in games, and our coaching staff, and just it was a very positive environment to be around, and it was just doing it in a way that was the right fit and in the best interest of what we were trying to get accomplished.
Wrapping up the week, Coach Grabowski spoke with the fearless Kevin Kelly. Known for never punting on fourth down and always keeping his foot on the gas, Coach took us behind the scenes with his thought process and how analytics helped shape them.
I think you find things that you feel comfortable with and that you can find some true data to back up. And then we've got our own that applies to us and maybe nobody else. But it's a true analytical statistical anomaly that fits us very well. We're 115-3. We recover an onside kick. And so, you know, we really make that a significant thing and important. I mean, that's a crazy record, regardless of what stat you threw in there. And so the kid, we make the kids believe how important that is, and they'll work a little harder. The kickers do on their own, just when we're not even out there on a Saturday or Sunday. And the other kids want to die to get on that kickoff team. So we know that we put them on there because if they'll practice a little harder, they can win and lose their spot. And so, you know, that makes our practice, our scout team better and all those kinds of things. I just think there's a tremendous effect when you lay out those whys and those numbers to the kids. I mean, kids are very intelligent, and nowadays with them looking at what they're looking at and playing and doing those things, numbers are more available to them than they've ever been before, and I think they buy in.
Thanks for listening to the Coach and Coordinator podcast this week. If you're a fan of the show, please make sure to follow us on our Twitter account for coaches, at FBDevCoach. Read our show notes, analysis, and coaching articles at blogs.usafootball.com, and check out our systems for tackling, blocking, and defeating blocks at footballdevelopment.com. Finally, subscribe to us on SoundCloud, Google Play, and Spotify, as well as give us a 5-star review on iTunes. As always, make sure to tune in next week for more one-of-a-kind content.